Good morning. How's everyone doing today? I hope doing well. We're getting into part four of the Millennium Temple, and we're going to come into chapter 41 now, and we're going to talk more about the actual temple itself, the actual place where Jesus will reside, and the Holy of Holies, etc. So I thought what I'd do first is we'll do a little bit of a review of the temple and its basic parts. I'm not going to go into a huge amount of detail. It is kind of like an aerial view with the roof cutaway of the temple itself. And I got a nice big cursor today. I figured out how to get me a big cursor so you can see it good. So this area right here is the Holy of Holies. This is where God. And the symbolism behind is three areas. This is the Holy of Holies. This is called the Holy Place. And this is the outer court where the sacrifices are made. So I'm just going to review a couple of things about it. You guys, some of you have been around a while, you might remember I'm actually taking some of these notes from Pastor Storm's notes when we were studying his Exodus, and we were talking about the temple quite a bit, and I kind of agree that the symbolism is quite unique when it comes to the. He even admitted in the when he did the Exodus study that he wasn't aware of how the three areas symbolized the three the Trinity itself. That was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's interesting that now that I've heard it, I can't not unhear it, and it makes a lot of sense. But of course, the Holy of Holies is where the mercy seat and the tabernacle, the golden mercy seat, where God would dwell. And then in the holy place is where you would see the showbread and the candles. And the incense, the incense for the prayers, and that would be representing the Holy Spirit. And then out here is the Son, which was sacrificed for our sins, the perfect sacrifice. And so this area, I didn't pray yet, did I? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, it's so well planned, everything that you plan, Lord, when it comes to your temple and that how it's laid out, and that everything is a pattern, and it's just great to discover these patterns all through the Bible, Lord. Thank you, and I praise you, and I invite you to be with us as we study your word, and that you could help us to understand everything that we're reading. And we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Sorry about that, Lord. So this outer area would be the sacrifice area. Now, when the temple was in operation, there was sacrifice, but it represented the ultimate sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ. And so that interesting, I just picked up a few verses I thought I would show when it comes to this. Over back, going back to Exodus, this is talking about the mercy seat. Thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on 1 end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat, shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. The cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubims be. Thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark of the covenant, and the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee, that will be the Ten Commandments. Now I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all the things which were given thee in the commandment unto the children of Israel. So that describes the Holy of Holies and what's in there. We're going to see a little bit of difference here when it comes to how this is laid out compared to some of these original tabernacles. And that's why we know that this this temple is for a different purpose than what the original intent was prior to the millennium. Some other verses I put in here is that we'll get into the holy place, which is the middle here. And in there would be the, we see over in Isaiah 11:2, it represents the Holy Spirit. And how we know this is based on the items that were in there and the reason behind the items that were in there. And in Isaiah 11:2, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom." This is the seven spirits of, which represent the seven candles that are burning continuously in the holy place. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." That was over in Revelation 4:5. Now this is getting more into the time frame of when Jesus will be returning. "And out of the throne proceeding lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." So that represents knowing that this area here is where God is, and this area here is before God, and that's where the seven lampstands are. We see the symbology here of what we see in Revelation 4:5, which is the throne room in heaven. And then just, I didn't get any verses on it, but it comes to the sacrifice area, which is out here, represents the Son, and the Son being sacrificed for our sins, so that allows us to gain entry into the temple to be in communion with God. And so we'll discover a few more of these different items. But you notice when we look at Ezekiel's vision of the temple, it doesn't include some of these things that I just mentioned. And so it's kind of interesting that I tried to figure out why they're missing. And I think I figured out a few possibilities. So we'll take a look at that. So we're going to jump into Ezekiel 41, verse 1. Okay, so let's move to the upper one, and we'll move me down here. So this is the entryway going into the holy place. That's where we're going to start out here in Ezekiel 41:1. "And after he brought me to the temple and measured the posts 6 cubits broad on one side, and 6 cubits broad on the other side, which was the breadth of the tabernacle." "And the breadth of the door was 10 cubits, and the sides of the door were 5 cubits on one side and the 5 cubits on the other side, and measured the length thereof 40 cubits, and the breadth 20 cubits. As 5 cubits on the sides. Now we're coming into the holy place, and this is the length was 40 cubits and the width was 20 cubits. And that this time we don't have the in footage, so I wrote it down here. So it'd be 30 feet wide by 60 feet deep. It's a pretty good sized place. And moving to verse 3. "Then went he inward and measured the post of the okay. I see, we already see a little slightly difference here. Well, actually, now we're actually standing in the Holy of Holies. And we're looking out, and you'll see that that one thing here, that's the incense burner, and that would actually be in the holy place, because you weren't allowed to come into the Holy of Holies except once a year. And I think that's one major difference that's going to happen in this temple, is we're going to have access to Jesus, who's going to be in this room. Whereas before, the high priest only once a year was allowed in here. And so I see that there's possibly one difference. Then went he inward and measured the post of the door. So it says that the man that was actually with Ezekiel in this vision. So now they're standing in here, and the vision is telling him what he's looking at. Then he went inward and measured the post of the door, 2 cubits, and the door 6 cubits, and the breadth of the door 7 cubits. So you can see the measurements there, and those particular measurements come out to 2 cubits is 3 feet. It's a pretty thick wall. 7 cubits is 10.5 feet, so it's 10.5 feet on the sides there. And the entrance is 9 feet wide. Okay, verse 4. So he measured the length thereof 20 cubits, and the breadth 20 cubits before the temple. And he said unto me, this is the most holy place. So now we're in the most holy place. The one thing you notice is missing is the tabernacle, is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. At least it doesn't show it here. And just as a review, talking about the most holy place, over in Exodus 26:33. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tatches, and thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy place. Well, you notice we don't have that here. Actually, we're going to find out there's like an accordion-style door between the two places. Exodus 26:34, and thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. This is also mentioned over in Hebrews 9:3-8. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of the glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. That would be this area here, where the incense burner is. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Remember back in that time frame that the idea was that each year they would sacrifice an animal to turn their sin. I didn't forgive sin. It just extended it for another year. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle wasn't yet standing. And also over in 1 Kings 6:20, and the oracle in the forepart was 20 cubits in length, which just kind of shows you that this temple has some of the same dimensions as the original one. Was 20 cubits in length, and 20 cubits in breadth, and 20 cubits in height thereof, and he overlaid it with pure gold, and so covered the altar, which was of cedar. Also in 2 Chronicles 3:8, and he made the most holy house, the length whereof was according to the breadth of the house, 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and he overlaid it with fine gold, amounting to 600 talents. And you can see even in this temple, it's going to be the same way with lots of gold. Okay, back to Ezekiel 41, verse 5. Okay, we're going to get to the outside of the building now. And after he measured the wall of the house 6 cubits and the breadth of every side chamber 4 cubits round about the house on every side. Okay, get a little cutaway view here. Verse 6, and the side chambers were three, one over another. So you can see the three levels here. You got a level here, and a level here, and a level here. And they say it's for the singers. And it's rather interesting to me that why would there be a wall in between? And I'm thinking that this might be a little bit of a hint that maybe this might be like a gallery that we would be able to actually see into the room. Just a guess on my part. There's nothing to support it necessarily. But I'm not sure why this area is here. And it goes all the way around the building. And you notice we got a spiral staircase going up. And we'll talk about that here in a minute too. And the side chambers were three, one over another, and 30 in order. And they entered into the wall, which was of the house for the side chamber round about, that they might have hold, but they had not hold in the wall of the house. And talking about chambers, we have a reference to that over in 1 Kings 6:5. Against the wall of the house, he built chambers round about, against the walls of the house round about, both of the temple and of the oracle. And he made chambers round about. The nethermost chamber was 5 cubits broad, and the middle was 6 cubits broad, and the third was 7 cubits broad. For without in the wall of the house, he made narrowed rests round about, that the beams should not be fastened into the walls of the house. And jumping down to verse 10, then he built chambers against all the house, 5 cubits high, and rested on a house with timber of cedar. Now, this is talking about the original. It gives us a little bit of a hint more of the structure here, of what it would look like. But it doesn't really tell us what they're for. We'll see here in a minute an example. We're on to verse 7. As the 30 that we already mentioned. See, there's three stacks high, so times 30 of them gives us 90 little spots altogether. And there was an enlarging and a winding around still upward in the side chambers for the winding about the house went still upward round about the house. Therefore, the breadth of the house was still upward, and so increased from the lowest chamber to the highest by the midst. That's what he's talking about, the spiral staircase here. Okay. Verse 8. There's the spiral staircase, a little bit better view. And one other interesting note, if you'll notice too, that the width gets increases in width as you go up also. Kind of an interesting note. So it actually kind of expands out at an angle. Still not exactly sure what they're for. I saw also the height of the house round about. The foundation of the side chambers were a full reed of 6. Let's go. I'm sorry, we're in chapter 8. Next slide. Now going back outside, now the wall's back there. I saw also the height of the house round about, the foundation of the side chambers were a full reed of 6 cubits high. So 6 cubits here, and that comes out to be 10 feet off of the court, and it was 7.5 feet wide. Kind of like a little walkway. and it was up in the air for some reason. I think it's because, remember, the stairwell in front that goes up into the holy place. I was also 8 stairs, remember we talked about yesterday. Verse 9. And the thickness of the wall which was for the side chamber without was 5 cubits, and that which was left was the place of the side chambers that were within. So the thickness of the wall which was for the side chamber without was 5 cubits. Again, it's still just talking about the 5 cubits and the 6 cubits. And then it's talking about the 5 cubits on the outside and the rest was inside. Okay, verse 10. And between the chambers was the width, the wideness of 20 cubits round about the house on every side. So the kind of interesting that has a basically a walkway all the way around of 20 cubits. 20 cubits ends up being verse 10, 30 feet. So it's about 30 feet wide. It's plenty big enough space we're talking about here. Verse 11. Oh, verse 11, again, the verse is out of the way for a minute so you can see it. It's just talking about the entrance of the sign chambers is down there. There's one in the north and one in the south. I'll read the verse. And the doors of the sign chambers were toward the place that was left. One door toward the north, another door toward the south, and the breadth of the place that was left was 5 cubits round about. And you see the doorway, they're showing the doorway here. The doorway is 5 cubits by 5 cubits. Now we'll get into the back area here. Now the building that was before the separate place at the end towards the west was 70 cubits broad, and the wall of the building was 5 cubits thick round about, and the length thereof 90 cubits. Now when I was first studying this, there is no hint as to what this building is for. The sheer size of it is quite astonishing. It ends up being 70 cubits, so that would be 105 feet across. And 90 cubits is 135 feet this way. And that the thickness of the wall of the building is 5 cubits, which is 7.5 feet thick. So that's a pretty thick wall. Maybe something is going to end up on top of this, but this is what Ezekiel saw. So I'm going to stop there. We're halfway through the chapter, and I want to try to keep these to a half hour. So I'm going to stop there for today. Oops. And we'll continue tomorrow. So I'll end with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. I get to look in your word. And thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. And I give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. If anyone's listening that might be wondering what we're talking about and who's this Jesus and what is he doing for us and God and is there really a God? Well, the first important step is if you're wondering about this whole thing is that there is an afterlife and that we are all looking forward to spending our lives with Jesus Christ, who's our Savior. What we've been talking about today is the temple that he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years after the end of this world, sometime in the future. We want to find out more about how to get to heaven and to be forever, live forever with the King of the universe and God in person. Listen to the video that plays after this recording, and it will talk about how you too can get to heaven. And it's a learning process, so it's important. The important first step is that you acknowledge that you're not worthy to be, you're a sinner, that you're not worthy to be in God's presence, and that you have to ask for forgiveness, and that through Jesus Christ, you'll be made righteous to be able to be in heaven with God. And it's going to be a beautiful place. And so I hope you take a look at that. And if you have any questions, you can please text us, and somebody will get the will take care of answering any questions you might have. So bless you all, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.